Good morning, Abu Talib. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We are going to finish the fourth pasuk. The fourth pasuk ends by describing the actions of the Eshet Chayil in general. It says, "Vata'as," and she does or she makes. Behefetz kapeha. Kapeha means with her hands. So it means she makes things with her hands. She's always making. She understands the value of work and making things on her own, as we've already discussed. But there is a word there that doesn't seem to be necessary. It should just say, Vata'as bekapeha, as she makes with her hands. But the pasuk is here focused on something very specific, which makes the Eshet Chayil so special. And as we'll see, in general, it is what makes people special and unique. And that is Vata'as Behefetz kapeha, which means that when a great person does something, so although whatever she does as a wife, as a mother, as a person, she does it behefetz. And the question is exactly what does that mean, that she does things behefetz? Sounds like there are two ways to do things in life. You could either do things with hefetz, or you could do things without hefetz. And the Eshet Chayil, what makes her special, is she does it with that formula of hefetz. So what does that mean exactly, that she does it with hefetz? In order to understand it in its full depth, I think it's important to start right at the beginning of the Torah. There is something here that is critical for every person to learn. Hashem put it right there for us in the beginning so we don't miss it. It's the creation of the world. Pasuk says, Vayomer Elohim Yehi Or. Hashem said, there should be light. And light was created. We see Vayomer Elohim throughout the days of creation. Every time Hashem wanted to create something, He said, and it happened. That's why the Mishnah in Masechet Avot says, Ba'asara ma'amarot nivra ha'olam. The world was created with 10 statements. Hashem said, Hu amar vayehi. Hashem said, and it was. Like we say every morning, Baruch she'amar ve'haya ha'olam. The world became the world with Hashem's words. It is Hashem's words that created this world. Always we know the power of words from this world. Our eight words are able to create the world. In fact, the world, W-O-R-L-D, is almost the same word as word. The word of Hashem made the world. Whatever you see in this world is Hashem's word. That's why Shlomo HaMelech says, Mavet v'chayim beyad lashon. That life can be created or life can be destroyed through the mouth. You see, Hashem created the world with His words. The power of the word to create in this world. This is what we're normally used to explaining. However, It's important to become familiar with the Ramban. The Ramban on that pasuk says the following. Milat Amira. He says, when you see the word Vayomer, by God, in the creation of the world, he says it doesn't mean words that come out of the mouth like we think, like we thought, like it sounds like. He says, rather, Milat Amira, when it says Vayomer, Bekan, over here, Lehorot, it's coming to teach, Ala Hefetz. Is that word again? It's coming to tell you not about God talking with his mouth. Rather, God is talking, so to speak, with his hefes. What does hefes mean? Hefes means his ratzon. His ratzon means his want, his desire. So really what the pasuk just means, Vayomer Elohim Yehi Or, it doesn't mean God spoke with his mouth. It means God spoke with his desire. As if to say, Hashem wanted there should be light. That's what it means, Vayomer Elohim. Hashem wanted there should be light. And there was light. And the Ramban brings a number of pesukim in Tanakh to prove that you could say the word Vayomer on a person's hefetz and a person's desire. For example, he brings a conversation between Yonatan and David, two people that loved each other. Vayomer Yehonatan el David, the pasuk says, Ma tomar nafshecha? What does your soul say? Ve'e'aselach, and I will do for you. What does that mean? What does your soul say? The soul doesn't speak. But it says the word matomar. So what does it mean, matomar, says the Ramban? It means, what do you want? When you want something, that's called your soul is saying. That's one example. Another example he brings from Bereshit. Story of Eliezer when he went to find a bride for Yitzhak. We know how much siyata dishmaya he saw in finding this young lady. And when he went to speak to her parents, their family, to bring her back to Yitzhak, after he told them the entire story of how things transpired, they were in awe. They saw Hashem is the one. Hashem me Hashem yatsa davar. Which means we see Hashem is involved in this. We see how much miracles it took to get here. So when he asked, would you give her to me to bring back? They said the following. Hine Rivka lefanecha. He says, behold, here is Rivka before you. Kah valech. Take her and go. Uthi isha leben adonecha. And she will be a wife to the son of your master. Kaasher diber Hashem. Like God spoke. God never spoke. In this story, he never spoke, not to Eliezer. He didn't speak to Rivka. He didn't speak to Betuel, her father. He didn't speak to Lavan, her brother. He never spoke. There's no speaking of God in this parasha. So what does it mean, says the Ramban, when they told him, like God spoke? Says the Ramban, no, it means, like Hashem wanted. We see sometimes in life from the way Hashem sets things up, sometimes we're able to see, at least wise people, are able to see what Hashem wants. So they said over here, it's clear, we see what Hashem wants. Bottom line, the Ramban proves that the word Vayomer doesn't have to go on the words of the mouth. Vayomer could be describing the words of the Ratzon, the words of a person's desire. And he says, that's how Hashem created the world. It wasn't his words, kavyachol, out of his mouth. Not like we think. There wasn't actual sounds that came out. It was God's ratzon that made this world. So whatever you see in the physical world is God's ratzon, his desire, his hefetz. Now, why is this important for me and you? What's the difference now if God created the world with his words of the mouth or with his ratzon? What makes a difference, obviously everything Hashem shares with us makes a difference. It's not just a historical fact. He's coming to teach us something. What he's coming to teach us is that the world, your world, will be created according to your ratzon. It's your desires, it's what you want that will make your world either come together or, God forbid, get destroyed. The lashon is not the lashon of the mouth, but the lashon of your desires. The same way Hashem says, I made my world with my desire. That's how powerful Ratzon is. So too you and your results in life will depend on your hefetz, on your Ratzon. This is a secret that the Eshet Hayil is very much aware of. That when she does things physically, beyond the physical act, way beyond the physical act, you see two people doing the same thing physically, but there's an ingredient that makes all the difference. That ingredient is called hefetz. It makes everything different. Give you a mashal, give you an example. How much ratzon, how much a person's desire affects his thoughts, it affects his actions, it affects who he becomes. The ratzon is the source of it all. One day a husband walked into his apartment in Eretz Yisrael. He comes into the house with a beautiful package of a dozen pink roses. Happens to be, his wife loves pink roses. Nice ones, big ones. And he walks in on that day with a dozen of them. The most gorgeous, the most colorful pink roses. This woman is about to lose her mind. She can't believe it. Years she's married to this guy. She doesn't remember a random day he comes in with pink roses. She's looking at the calendar to see maybe it's her birthday. It's not her birthday.
Anniversary.
Maybe it's the anniversary of their wedding. Maybe the anniversary when they met each other. Maybe the anniversary of the L'chaim. Nothing. There's nothing special on that day. So she's going crazy. She starts to tear. She's all bisimha. She looks at her husband. She can't believe it. So she tells him, what happened? What's going on with these flowers? He told her, that as he was walking into the building, just a few minutes before, he saw a truck. A man came out to deliver this huge bouquet of red, of pink roses. He says, as the guy walked into the building, he slipped, and the whole thing fell on the floor. I try to help him get off the floor. He says, after he put himself together, there were a dozen roses still left on the floor.
Take them.
So he said to me, Dad, take them. This woman, after she hears the story, the tears turn from tears of simha to tears of bitterness. The facial expressions change from love to anger. He didn't understand. He didn't come to these classes, this guy. He doesn't understand. He's looking. He says, what's wrong? You love pink roses. I got you the most beautiful pink roses. I came in and you were so happy. What happened? So she told him, when I saw the roses, so I thought to myself, probably this morning when you woke up, you were thinking, what can I do to make my wife happy? And you thought, maybe I'll buy her a bracelet, maybe I'll get her a watch. And you're thinking of all the different things, and then you realize, you know, she loves pink roses. And you decide you're going to get that for her. And you walked around the city to make sure you find the best store that sells these items. Till you find the store, until you found the item, and then you brought them back. That's what I was thinking. But now I see that's not what it was. So it's very disappointing. Here's a clear story of what it means to do something with hefetz or not hefetz. At the end of the day, physically, there is no difference between the first thought or the second thought. But it makes all the difference. Vata'as behefetz kaper. When you do something with hefetz, with your want, it's not just like a nice thing. It's a whole different act. The physical acts don't even come close to the feelings behind them. The wants, the hefetz of a person has so much power over his actions. Besides that it makes a difference to the person receiving, but it actually makes a difference in the words that we say, in the things that we do. Here's one beautiful example. Famous story of the two women that came to Shlomo HaMelech. The pasuk says in Melachim Aleph, Perek Gimel, that two women came to the king Shlomo and they stood in front of him. Basically, these two ladies shared a room, only them two. They both were pregnant. One had a baby. And then, in 3 days, the other lady also had a baby. So they're sharing one room, two ladies, two babies. One of the ladies, she wakes up to feed her baby, and she realizes her baby is dead. Lo alinu velo alechem. She looks over to her friend and she's sleeping. So she takes her dead baby and she puts it by the other woman. She takes her live baby and she moves on. In the morning, the woman gets up to feed her baby and she looks at her baby and he's not alive. She looks again, she realizes it's not her baby. Now they're fighting in the house, my baby, your baby. So they go to Shlomo HaMelech to give a psak halacha. Who gets the live baby and who gets the dead baby? It's a very famous story. You know what happened, that Shlomo told them, I'm going to take a sword, I'm going to rip him in half, and because we can't tell who's who, we'll give half to each one. Okay, we're not going to get into that right now. There's something that happened before that most people don't know about. In the conversation that happened between the ladies and Shlomo HaMelech. Listen to these words. Vatomer Aisha Aheret. Lo ki beni hai. She told, no, my son is the one that's alive. Ubenecha met. And your son is the one that's dead. Vezot omeret, and the other lady says, lo, not so. Ki benech hamet, your son is the one that's dead. Ubeni ahai, and my son is alive. But tedaberna lifnei hamelech, the Malbim says, and they said it again. Vayomer hamelech, the king says, Zot omeret, this one says, Ze beni ahai, ubenech hamet, my son is the live one and your son is dead. Vezot omeret, lo, ki benech hamet, ubeni ahai, your son is dead, my son is alive. Says the Maldim that this was the indicator of whose son belongs to who. He says, without even realizing, each one was focused on what was the main goal for themselves. The woman who had the live baby wanted to take her baby that's alive back. And the woman who her son died didn't want that she should have a dead baby and her friend has a live baby. So that's why when they spoke, each without even realizing their ratzon of what they really wanted, what was their motivation, came out in the words. The mother that wanted the baby as alive said, first, Beni Ahai, my son is the live one. But the other lady, she said, lo, Benech Hamet, your son is the dead one. That was the main point for her. The main goal for her was that she should have a dead baby and her friend should have a live one. She couldn't deal with it. It's one thing to lose a baby, but in the same room, the other one keeps hers. And you know, that's why when he said to split, he doesn't care. She could care less. The whole idea of the split, because he understood that the whole idea was she wanted that they should be equal. If they're both dead, that's fine for her. So what was the main priority for her? Benech Hamet. The dead one is yours. She's focused on the dead one. She didn't care so much about the live baby. It was more to her about the baby that's not here. Says the Malbim that a person is affected by his thoughts. His ratzon comes out in his words without realizing the words came out the way they did. Each one put the priority first. We see the same story by Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, when he was telling over the story to Betuel and Lavan and to the family of Rivka, of how he ended up by their house. So he was telling them the whole story of how his master made him swear that he wanted a girl from this family. And then the Eliezer told them, Va'omar el Adoni. And I said to my master then, Ulai, maybe, lo telecha isha harai. Maybe the girl, after I find her, after I do my job, she doesn't want to come with me. Now what? Good question. Comes Rashi alav ha-shalom and says, oh, look at the Torah, there's something missing. The word ulai is spelled in Hebrew, aleph, vav, lamed, yud. But in the Torah, if you see it, there's no vav. So in the Torah, if you see it, it's written aleph, lamed, yud, which spells elai. Says Rashi alav ha-shalom, elai ketiv. Even though we read it ulai, ulai means maybe, but Eli, actually what was said or what was meant to be said is Eli, which means to me, says Rashi. Bat haita lo le Eliezer. Eliezer had his own daughter. Ve'haya mehazer limtso ilah. And he's trying to figure out a way. Sheyomar lo Avraham lifnot elah ve'asiyo bito. He wanted to figure out a way how he can get Abraham to agree to the shidduch with his daughter. Basically, he had a very difficult mission. He had a girl perfect for Yitzhak. He badly wanted this shidduch to happen. And now his master sends him on a mission to find another girl for Yitzhak. Impossible. And he went and he did it with such ne'emanut, with such an unbelievable dedication, but yet his ratzon came out without even realizing. If you would ask Eliezer, tell me, are you doing your master's mission? He would say, all the way. But the Torah catches him that the ratzon that he has for his daughter came out in the words when he told Abraham, ulai, maybe she won't come back with me. What he really was saying is, now, will you make a shidduch with me? Eli? Will I be able then to have a shidduch with you? Again, the ratzon of, if he asked Eliezer, did you say Eli or Ulai? He'll say, what do you mean? I said, Ulai. I didn't say Eli. I said, simple question, practical question. What happens if I find a girl and she doesn't want to come back? Well, what happened then? Eliezer would tell you that was a good question of a dedicated man who's doing his master's job. But the Torah says, no, 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 no. We know that that word came from your inner ratzon, your desire for your own daughter, which who can blame him? Your desire for your daughter is still playing a role in your words and in your question. That's why the Torah wrote it Eli. You're saying Ulai. But we know you mean Eli. That's what you mean. The ratzon of the person has very much of an effect on the words of a person, even if they don't realize. The ratzon of a person is so much more than just a ratzon. It is the engine of the person. It's what makes things go. We've all had experiences, I assume, with nurses in a hospital. Hopefully we only go to hospitals for happy occasions. I think we've all been eyewitness to a nurse in a hospital whose dedication is beyond imagination, treating the patient with such care and such dedication and such love, like it would be her own mother, her own child. Unbelievable. Sometimes you see a stranger and the amount of care and dedication, you can't believe your eyes. Something very special to watch, the kindness that a human being is capable of. We've all seen that, I believe. And you could have in the same hospital another nurse doing the same exact job, answering the calls, tending to the patient, there when needed, but with such a difference in attitude. You don't feel the same care, you don't feel the same love, the same word don't come out the way the other one does. Very easily angered, easily annoyed. A question you have to worry if you should ask or not, because maybe it's going to bother. On edge, not patient, lacking savlanut. Now, when two such nurses appear in front of us in a hospital, so someone tells you, you see a difference? Of course, who can't see a difference? Tell me, what's the difference? So most people say, oh, well, that's a good nurse. That's a great nurse. We're very, very simple sometimes in defining the differences between what we see. It's a very elementary explanation of what you are watching. That's a good nurse. That's not a good nurse. What does that mean exactly? So here's the real explanation. That one of the nurses was thinking in her life how she would be able to help people. You know, there are people out there, many, many people. They actually spend time and thoughts of what they can do for others. People sitting there in ambulances waiting for someone to call. Volunteers, dedication that's not normal. People out there helping the elderly and the sick. People helping special children. People helping all kinds of situations in life. It's unbelievable. There are people who desire to show you the greatness of the human spirit. A desire to help others selflessly. So one of these nurses was thinking what she could do for humanity, what she can do for others. She thought on what's in her capability. And then she realized, you know, I could be a nurse. I could help people who are in pain. I can make them feel better. I could care for them. So she went to nursing school, so she'll be able to do it. And she's involved in helping people all day long. The other nurse, she was thinking, how can I make money? I need to live. I gotta make money. What's the best that I can do to make the most money? So she decided that nursing was a good business, a good way to make parnasa. So she also went to nursing school just alongside the other one. And she came out also with graduation. She got a certificate. And she's working in the same hospital. Two nurses, if you look at them, the same story. They both went to nursing school. They both graduated. They're both working in the same hospital. But the differences are huge. Where is the difference? The difference is in their hefetz. The difference is in their ratzon. A person's ratzon makes a huge difference in the outcome of their actions. Me and you would say, well, one is good, one is not good. What does that mean? It's all dependent on the person's ratzon. Our ratzon makes a very big difference in our results.
Sometimes a person does something to someone, hurts somebody. For example, the person is walking and he steps very strong on someone's foot. The guy says, ouch. Not only is he in pain that his foot's hurting, he's also angry someone just stepped on his foot. So you'll hear sometimes people say, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that. I didn't realize your foot was there. Now, exactly what does that do? His foot still in pain? You still stepped on his foot. So what does the comment that says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it, and the guy says a lot of times, oh, okay, nope, don't worry. Before, he was about to kill the guy. Stepped on my foot. Now all of a sudden, oh, you didn't mean it. Okay, don't worry about it. What happened? What changed? What changed is the following. Pay attention, it's very important. Because what I'm talking about today, everyone knows somewhere inside. When I say I didn't mean it, it means basically that my foot is not me. Who is me? Me is my want, my ratzon, my hefetz. That's who I am. There's nothing more me than what I want. My feet are not as much me as my ratzon. So therefore, when my foot stepped on you, I just want to tell you that wasn't me. That was just a foot that's connected to me. It's not who I am. Because everyone knows that the real person is his desires, is his wants. And we use that all the time. We don't realize sometimes what we're saying, but that's what we're saying. I didn't do it. My foot did it. Because my foot is not I, it's not me. My ratzon is me. So once a person is convinced that it wasn't your ratzon, he feels much better. There's nothing that describes the person more than his ratzon, than his wants, his desires. In fact, you should know that the only thing a person actually controls in life, the only free choice a person has in life, is his ratzon. Which means that if I wanted to punch somebody, so Hashem has to allow me to move my hand, make a fist, and go all the way and hit the guy. That is Beyad Hashem. That's in the hands of God. I don't control my actual physical movements. What I do control is my desire to move my hand and punch the guy. My ratzon is the only thing in this world that's given to me as my free choice. Your free choice is to desire to do good or to desire to do bad. That's your free choice. So how does the action happen after I want to punch somebody? How do I actually punch him? Well, it's a Gemara. Gemara says very clear. Bederech she'adam rotzeh. Say this word. Bederech she'adam rotzeh. The road or the act or the way that a person wants lelech to go, molichinoto. They will, in Shamayim, the way it works is you don't have a choice about what your physical actions are going to do. But you have a choice to want. And when you want, generally speaking, they will guide you and help you to fulfill your ratzon. But who's fulfilling your ratzon? They are. You're not punching the guy. You have the choice to want to punch the guy. They will help you get that done. Gemara says in Masechet Makot, Masechet Yoma, Ba litameh, a person wants to do something that's no good, tameh, potela. They open for him, which means they'll allow it to come to fruition. You want to do bad things? They will open the door for you. Bechavod. Bali taher, you want to do something pure? You want something good? You want to upgrade your life? Misayin oto, they help you. That means the only thing that we control is our ratzon. Everything else is provided by the creator of the world. It's an unbelievable thing. We control what we want to do, what we want to become. That Hashem gave us as our behira chofshit. That's our free choice. That means our essence is our ratzon, and that's the only part that we actually control. After our ratzon, Hashem will facilitate whatever our ratzon actually wants. You know, there's a very big question that I think with this we could answer in a most beautiful way. You know, we have to learn from Hashem how He behaves with us. We could learn from Him how to behave with others. Hashem is our Father. He loves us more than we love our children. And we see how He deals with us, and we learn from that how to deal with our children. So the fact that when we want to do something good, He helps us, that's beautiful. We learn from that to help our children do good things. But what is the first part of the statement? Bali tameh. My son wants to do bad. He wants to start drinking. He wants to take drugs. He wants to live a life of tum'ah. Potila. Do I learn from God that we should open the door for him? Imagine your son came over to you and said, oh, you say, oh, well, that's really what you want? Okay, listen, I follow God. In that situation, God says, if you want to become a drug addict, I'll open the door for you. So I'm supposed to, as a father, learn from the Creator. How could it be that when my son wants to do bad, I'm going to open the door for him? How could that be? Why would God do that? Doesn't He love us? Doesn't He care about us? But according to what we're learning, there's something very deep about this point. I'll tell you what it is. That already at the point of wanting bad, you already messed up. Forget the actions. The fact that you want to become tamed, you're already tamed. The actions are just a byproduct of the real tum'ah. We think that actions make us tamed. No. The only part that's you is your ratzon. So when you want to become tamer, if that's what you really want, you're tamer already. It's not the actions that make you tamer. The action is just an outcome of your tum'ah. So therefore, maybe the kindness of God is to allow the actions to come out that hopefully will be able to see the destruction and change our ratzon. Because if the actions didn't come out, you would stay with that terrible ratzon and you would be in total tum'ah and disaster.
because that's what you want. So therefore, to help you, fine, you want to drink, drink. Do it, go. Hopefully you'll fall on your face one day. And one day you'll start realizing your ratzon should not be for these things. Because so long as your ratzon is that, even if your actions aren't being taken into the reality, your ratzon is still who you are. You're still a failure. You're still a person who's tameh. Hashem helps you. He opens for you so that you can realize how terrible it is your ratzon is. And one day you'll change your ratzon. And how many times did that happen in life? How a person had ratzon to do A, to do B, and then he realized his mistakes. And then what happened? He didn't just change his actions. He changed his ratzon. He changed what he wanted. Because that's really what's most important. That's who you are. So actually Hashem does a chesed for us. So we could change our ratzon. Wow. Jack said a beautiful thing. Actually, the Gemara in Masechet Makot, as a proof to this concept of Bederech she'adam rotze lelech molichin oto, that the way a person wants to go, that's where they lead him. As a proof to that, the Gemara brings from Bil'am. Gemara says, we learn it from the Torah. It brings over there from the Torah, from the Nevi'im, from the Ketuvim. One of the proofs it brings from the Torah is, Hashem told Bil'am, when Bil'am asked God, should I go curse the Jewish people? Hashem told him, Lo telech imahem, don't go with them. But then, when he asked again, he really wanted to go. Hashem told Bil'am, Im likro lecha ba'u anashim, if they're calling for you, kum lachitam, go with them. What happened? God changed his mind? No. Says the Gemara, when Bil'am shows his real ratzon, so God has no other way but to lead him to his ratzon. But Jack is saying something more than this. He's saying, wait. But in the end, he wanted a curse. But in reality, he didn't curse them. In reality, he blessed them. The most beautiful berachot came out of Bil'am's mouth. So why is Bil'am considered a rasha? That the Gemara says, the more bad you could talk about him, the better. The most beautiful berachot that we say today, we use them by chuppah, we use them in the most beautiful ways, were said from Bil'am's mouth. Why is he Bil'am Arasha? He's saying beautiful, because the words came out, that was Hashem who turned his words. But his ratzon was to curse. And therefore a person is measured by his ratzon. He's measured by what he wants. And even if Hashem made a whatever miracle to make the actions come out differently and the words come out differently, but the ratzon is who the person is. And he was judged by his ratzon, not by his actions. Beautiful. Yes, Jack, last one. We do not mean that a person, all he needs to have is in his mind, he likes to do good. In his mind, he does mitzvot. In his mind, he does chesed. There are many, many people who are, they call them cardiac Jews. They have a lot of things in their mind. But in lema'aseh, in actions, they're very much lacking. They have in mind to learn. They have in mind to do all good things. Is that what we mean? We're talking about the word hefetz means that the person wants to do. I have a strong desire to do kindness. I have a desire to learn Torah. Open the book and learn. I have a desire to do the right things. It's a desire to do, because this world is a world of doing. And when we speak about hefetz, we're talking about a desire to do. Bottom line, for today we're going to stop, but this is what the pasuk is highlighting about the great woman. But ta'as behefetz kafen. When she does, whatever she does as a mother, it's done with hefetz. It starts with a desire to do and to become a great mother to her children. Very often in life, a woman will lead her home and her desire. Maybe she had it once, maybe she didn't. Maybe she never thought about it. And she becomes frustrated and she becomes a person who lacks savlanut and lacks patience. She forgot what her desire is supposed to be. Again, maybe she once had it and she forgot about it. Maybe she never had it. She's just doing her job without thinking. We have to take a few minutes in our lives and create a desire within us. I desire to be a great mother. And that's why I do what I do. Let the actions be an outcome of our desire. I desire to be a great wife. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. All of a sudden, our actions are like, it's the difference between the great nurse and the not such great nurse. It's where did it start? The Eshet Hayil, her actions start with hefetz. She doesn't just do things. She takes time, maybe once a day or once a week, a few seconds, 10 seconds, 30 seconds, whatever it takes, to bring her desire to what she's about to do. When you do things with desire, you're a different person. You don't just sit down and open the book to learn. You allow your desire to be a desire of wanting to learn. When you open the learning, when you open the book, it's a different learning. When we start our actions with hefetz, our actions are a different type of act. We have much more patience, we have much more strength, and we have much more joy because we're doing what we want. Sometimes it's frustrating in life doing things. But if you're doing what you want, the frustrations are not felt because you're doing your hefetz. This is what makes a great person. Vata'as the hefetz kapeha. Her actions are not just actions. She's not just cooking. She's not just cleaning. She's not just picking up the children. She's not just dropping them off. She's not just taking them to the doctor. No, no, no. She desires to be that. That desire makes all the difference, not only for the Eshet Hayil, but for every person in every valuable act of life that they do. Baruch Allah le'olam, amen be'amen.